Hello, Grievers. Welcome. Today you have found my 9th episode in season 1 of my podcast. This is the 4th solo mini episode in which I go down the rabbit hole and we explore what's going on inside my mind. Yeah, that could be a dangerous place to be sometimes, but I feel like by sharing the thoughts that I have or the experiences that I have been through in my suicide loss journey since losing my son over 4 years ago. Today I'm going to talk to you about my choice to chase joy and how that came about and whether I've been successful or not. It wasn't like I never had happy moments or that I thought I would never laugh again, because even in the first weeks after we lost Alex, there were definitely times that we laughed and smiled together as a family. Of course, I'll give you that most of the time, those were when we were remembering Alex or certain memories that we had with him, and those brought us joy. But in some ways, I think I've used that as my springboard to realize that there are so many opportunities to be happy and to experience joy in this life. And that while it may sound cliche, Alex sure wouldn't want me or anybody that he loved to stop living or being happy. As a matter of fact, he would really want us to live a happy life. So, how did I get there? Obviously, I probably wasn't always at a place where this made sense. Even though, yes, I experienced those little bouts of happiness in the beginning, they were short-lived, and somewhere inside of myself, I was convinced that I would never be able to be happy again, not truly. And I think I've talked about it in a couple of the other episodes that I've put out so far, but I also have come to terms with the fact that while I can absolutely have happiness and joy, they're going to always exist alongside of a deep sadness that will never go away because my child is gone. So how do you come to reckon with those two? How do you balance them? And that's kind of the key word, I think, when I think about this, is that for me, so much about my life is about balance. We can't exist on one extreme or the other, but we have to try to live the best that we can somewhere in the middle where there's a balance. So for me, talking as a parent who lost a child to suicide, I'm going to tell you that I think some of the biggest emotions that a mom and probably a dad and people that are very close to the person that have died struggle with are not only sadness, that's the obvious one, but guilt is probably right behind it. And fear, anger, and hurt are in there also. So how do we start to deal with the initial guilt? It's a tough one. And I'll be honest, listeners, I'm still grappling with it myself. I don't have it mastered. But I will tell you that in my coaching session this last week, in my therapy that I've taken on for myself, that I was talking with my coach, and it made me rethink one of the analogies that I've used over and over again from an early grief workshop that I was in. I went to a suicide loss grief workshop somewhere in the first year. And one of the things the instructor said, one of the stories he told that stuck with me, was that of a person carrying the loss of their loved one, their grief, as a boulder. He gave the visual of, if you look at your grief as a boulder, there's a lot of people that either themselves start the process out of grieving, thinking that at some point they're going to be able to set that boulder down and walk on. In other words, get over it, leave their grief behind. And whether that's something that you're dealing with as something you've inflicted on yourself, or whether you're dealing with it as something that society and the people around us are, kind of putting on us, it's there. It's what a lot of people kind of live with as a misconception. And the way he put it was, a better way to look at grief is that that boulder is something that you've now added to your body, and it's heavy and it's large, and in the beginning it's really hard to move under the weight of it, but that over time you'll be able to move more freely. You'll be eventually be able to stand completely upright and walk with without much extra effort. And it's not because the boulder has fallen off or gone away. It's simply because you have become stronger under the weight of it and you carry it with more grace and as a part of yourself. And so for just a minute, we'll stop and think of that because that's good by itself. I mean, that one I've reused, but this week in my session with my coach, I realized that there was another analogy for me that in getting rid, being able to healthily deal with my anger, sadness, fear, guilt, and hurt, that I saw it a little differently all of a sudden. I realized that we do have choices, and this goes back to how I live, is I try to be someone who makes intentional choices. And I added an extra layer to that story that's my own, and I told her that suddenly when she was talking about something, I was thrust into the idea that that grief boulder that we're given in the beginning, we have two choices on what to do with it. We can either let it crush us under its weight, or we can choose to move forward with it, strengthening as we go along. So I know that I'm someone who's made the choice to move forward with my grief. Now, at one point I told her that, you know, at times I might have only been crawling. And I think I said something to the effect of, you know, that wasn't good enough, that I had to be able to stand up and walk upright with this. And she said, but isn't crawling still forward movement? And she's right. Crawling is still forward movement, and I absolutely still crawl with this sometimes, and that's okay. Ultimately, this isn't a competition. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm simply living my life the best that I can. So if you're listening and you're still struggling with whether you feel like you can live a happy life again, I want you to start by asking yourself if you think you deserve to be happy. And I know that you've already answered that in your head instinctually, because we always have an initial first answer. So if the answer was yes, then I'm sure you're well on your way to getting there. And a lot of this just may be affirmation that you're on the right path. However, if your answer was no, that you don't feel like you deserve it, then maybe my next question would be for you is, do you feel like the loved one that you lost to suicide would want you to still be happy? I hope the answer to that was yes. And I hope that if it is, that that can at least be your starting point. Because grievers, that was my starting point. That was where I lived for probably the first couple of years, was feeling like the choice that I was making to chase joy, to find happiness again, was because I felt like Alex not only would want it, but that on some level, I needed to be able to try to live this life to the fullest, not only for myself, but now for him. And so in the beginning, that was my initial motivation. So I just encourage you to find motivation, whatever that is, to start down the path. Because now, when I ask myself if I deserve to be happy again, I definitely know the answer is yes. I also know that I don't have to choose. And therein lies the key. I've chosen to live in a world of ands, not a world of ors. And so with that, my final thoughts for today. I hope for you the same that I hope for myself, that we can live with sadness and happiness, that we can live with fear and courage, that we will live with guilt but also with confidence, hurt and health, anger and forgiveness, and yes, grief and joy. As always, griever, I wish none of us had the reason to come together like this. But since we do, I'm glad that we have found a space to do it together. It is my honor to share this space with you. Together, let's keep the conversation going. Let's keep talking Let's normalize grief. Let's discuss our loss. And let's have conversations that bring about change. And let's learn to build a new life from the leftover pieces before us. We'll talk again soon.